How's everybody? Good. Everybody good? Can you believe it's the second Sunday of Advent? Now, I'm going to some of y'all have seen this, but we're going to show a short little video. This video gets me ready for Christmas. So, enjoy.
An angel came to see Mary. She was doing laundry, and then the angel just appeared, and she was really scared. So Gabriel was like, Mary, you're going to have, Mary, you're going to have a baby. You're going to have a baby, and you will call him Jesus. And then Mary was like, I'm not going to have a baby yet. I'm only a teenager. I'm not married. Then the angel Gabriel told Joseph that Mary is not lying. You are having a new baby. And so they met up. They went to Bethlehem, which was Joseph's old town.
They ride a donkey.
I don't know.
A camel.
Oh, yeah, a camel.
She said, this donkey's fast.
They tried to go to a hotel, and
they asked the keeper for a place to stay. The keeper said,
we have no rooms. Literally, no rooms.
So Mary and Joseph walked away sadly, but then he said,
the only place here in Bethlehem that you can stay is a stable. And then he just pointed the way, and they followed. When the shepherds were taking care of the sheep,
then they saw angels.
The angels said, a new baby is getting born, who is king of the Jews.
The angel were singing,
glorious. And then the shepherds said, I think we should go there and meet him. The second, I think, said, yeah, I agree with you. And the other said, yeah, me too. They had to walk through a bunch of grass and bushes, maybe have to camp out a night. And then the wise men heard about it.
And then a star appeared.
We should probably follow that star. It's pointing down to the barn.
So maybe we should follow it. Maybe. So the wise men went to Jesus.
They gave them gifts.
A stuffed animal, like a hippo one that I have at home.
Some diapers, and some wipes, and some milk, some shoes, some Jordans.
Gold ring and Latimer.
And I don't know how I would survive in that barn. Too stinky, too crowded, and ugh.
I think he probably pooped because the room was very smelly. Thank you for coming.
He's adorable.
He's gonna be our best friend.
I love you, and you're the best baby I ever seen. There, I said it.
The new baby is gonna change the world.
Christmas from kids. Should we have that kind of heart, just that heart to receive this precious gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Let's pray. Father, we welcome you into this place. Would you come and would you exalt yourself? Would our praises be pleasing to you? Father, would you be in every home that's also in our live stream audience this morning? Would you be in every home and in this place? Would you stir our hearts? May the name of Jesus be high and lifted up. We thank you for this precious gift of your Son, Jesus. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Rise if you are able as we sing.
Joy to the world.
invite you to have a seat, and we will be partaking of our second Advent reading this week.
I hope I'm as entertaining as the kids were. Good morning. While Mary and Joseph were in Bethlehem, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in swaddling clothes and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch on their flocks overnight. The angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." This morning we light the second candle of Advent. This candle is of peace. At the arrival of Jesus, the angels proclaimed peace on earth. Let us forgive. Let us, as forgiven and redeemed people, rejoice in the peace that we have received in our own hearts through Jesus Christ.
Joy for all ye nations, rise, join the church.
Let's give our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ a round of applause this morning. All right, you may be seated. And children, you're going to be dismissed this morning to your time of children's church.
Swimming upstream, trying to get up here. Good to see all those kids. Well, good morning. Everybody doing well this morning? Five of you are doing good, man. That's good news. Great to see you. If you want to register your attendance with us, that would be helpful. You can do that through our app. I want to remind everybody that our all-church Christmas party takes place this evening. We'll start in the sanctuary. The children has a program they like to perform. That'll take place at 5:30, and we'll move to fellowship hall for a free barbecue meal. So there's plenty of food. We'd love for everybody to join us for that. Our men's breakfast this month is at Wiley Baptist again this Saturday at 7:30. Our fellowship hall is tied up making preparations for Christmas workshop, so it'll be at Wiley Baptist again. And then Christmas workshop is next Sunday. There's an insert in your bulletin. They could use some volunteers. Also, get your kids signed up for that. And that's always a great time. Lots of fun for the kids and the adults that participate in that. Well, as we pray this morning, I was thinking about the difficult time this season is for some people. It's a time of joy for a lot of people, but there's difficulty there for some. I shared with the early service that for me, I struggled for a lot of years finding joy during the Christmas season. And there was one year I told Carlene that we weren't going to put a tree up that year. And we had a tree that year, and I never brought that up again. But man, I just really struggled, and God's brought freedom in that area of my life. I can experience joy during this season. And so I know it's a hard season for some people. It's just a difficult season because maybe you've lost someone over the last year or last several years. Also, there may be illness going on. And so this morning during the early service, we invited people that wanted prayer for that to stand up. And it was really a sweet time in the early service. So I'm going to invite you to do the same. If you need prayer for anything during this this season, during this time today, I want to invite you just to signify you need prayer by standing if you're comfortable doing that. And we would love to surround you and pray over you. So if anybody needs prayer this morning, feel free to stand up. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? This is a very safe place. Church, so if you don't mind, let's surround these, lay hands on them, and we'll pray for them. Make sure everybody gets covered. Some coverage back here as well. Somebody that's comfortable in that group just leading out in prayer, go ahead and do that. You don't have to know the need. The Lord does. So if you feel comfortable, just lead out in prayer, and then I'll close this. Father, we love the way you love your children. And Lord, I just thank you for this opportunity this morning to come before you with needs that you're very well aware of. And Lord, there may be others who chose not to stand, but Father, you know every heart in this room. You know every decision that we make. My goodness, the hairs on our head are numbered. And so nothing escapes your notice. And so, Lord, I ask this morning in the name of Jesus that you administer peace and healing and comfort. God, restore what the locusts have devoured spiritually in the lives of these people who are struggling. And Lord, I pray for joy to rise up inside of them. A supernatural joy that may not even make sense in the circumstance that they're in. Oh, Father, we need you. Holy Spirit, we need you to move. To bring wisdom. Oh, Comforter, bring comfort. And I pray that when we all walk out of this building this morning, we've known without a doubt that we've met with you. Now, Father, I thank you for this season that we can reflect on the birth of the Son, who lived as a baby, as a child, as a teenager, as a man, and gave himself up for us, willingly gave himself up for us. And I thank you for that focus this time of year. And but Lord, forgive us for not thinking about that, having that on our minds and meditating on that year round. So Lord, we're grateful for your goodness, grateful for your mercy, grateful for your grace that sustains us. And once again, we commit these needs to you in the name of Jesus. Move in power. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to pray. And Lord, we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I want to remind you, after the service, we'll have several people available for prayer. Robert and Debbie Mills have committed to do that this morning. So please don't leave this place if you're needing prayer. Also, a reminder about our giving opportunities. We have offering boxes by the doors, and also you can give electronically. God bless.
Bow to God. Good.
There we go. There we go. Is this thing on? There's always one in every crowd. John 3:16 is probably the most well-known verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son so that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. So I want us to say that, but instead of the world, I want you to put your name. Now, some of y'all slower ones like Mike and Eric, don't say your name. Say, I'll give you for instance. Like, I'm going to say Jeff, okay? So y'all would say your name, okay? Everybody got it? For God so loved Jeff that he gave his one and only son, Jesus, so that we would have eternal life. For God so loved you. The world we kind of think, that's somebody else he's talking about. But for God so loved you that he gave Jesus. Isn't that good news, church? Man, that's good news. If you are a guest this morning, we are really glad you're here. Hope that you feel loved by God's people, and I hope you feel his Holy Spirit here. There's a card in the seat pocket in front of you. It says guest registration. It's a blue stripe. Would love for you to fill that out, and would love to meet you, get to know you a little bit. At the end of the service, I'll be out at this end of the foyer, and I have a free gift for our guests. And also, a couple of other announcements. I shamed about four different families into pictures in the early service. I just want you to know. How many of you can I shame to get your picture made after church? I see you, Miller Loudermilk, over there. We'll Photoshop John out. It'll be good. It'll be good. Now, I'll be here. After I kind of greet some folks, I'll be over here in the cry room and would love to take your picture. The next thing I want to say, you probably saw, yes? Can you what? Yes. Here, Barbara, come up here and collect your fee for that. She's not a pastor, but she slept at a whatever they, you know, run. Holiday Inn Express last night. I got to work on my joke delivery. It's bad. Okay. Thank you, Barbara. I love that. See, that's why we want to know each other. We used to have name tags. Now just when I can shame the staff into it, they wear a name tag. But we used to have name tags, and everybody, when they joined the church or started coming to church, you wanted a name tag, but nobody wore them. We had some clipboards out there, and they'd get their name tag, and they'd clip it on the board, and it's like, never wear it again. Anyway, so at each one of the exits as you leave today, there's some wristbands. Take one if you want one. It says, Keep Christ in Christmas. I've got one on. I'm going to wear mine throughout the Advent season, throughout the Christmas season. It could spark, you never know what something like that, it can spark a conversation while you're checking out, while I'm buying some unneeded tools at Lowe's or something. I could never happen. But anyway, there's wristbands on your way out. And then also, there's been a little bit of confusion on the ornaments that I wanted to clarify. There's a handout in your bulletin that you can fill out, and you can, for $5, you can honor or remember someone who has passed away, and you can do one or you can do 10 or however many of those you want to do. And if on this tree over here, there's some wooden stars that we've had cut out, and our very own David Batiz, I remember his name this time, David Batiz did the engraving. Thank you, David. And those are really awesome. So you'll, for every one that you buy, there will be put one on the tree. And at the end of our Advent season, you can take those home. You can give them to loved ones. You can keep them, whatever you want to do with them. So that's how that's working. I think those are really awesome. So hope that you will grab a ornament or two to remember someone. All right. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Beginning in verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. But because Joseph, her husband, now notice that they're referring to them as married, even though they were betrothed. But so they took betrothal seriously. They considered it a marriage at that point. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. Again, referencing that they considered themselves to be married. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." I don't know about y'all, that doesn't happen every day. "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. Referring back to Isaiah 7:14, when this was written some 700-800 years prior to this event, this time of Christ's birth, that he was foretold that the virgin would be with child. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Let's pray. We'll do something a little different as we pray, church. Just with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want you to just imagine that the angel has appeared to you as he did the shepherds. And he said, "This child, it's going to save the world. This promised Messiah has been born, and here's where you can find him." I want you to just picture yourself. You're making that journey, and you show up at that stable, and you walk in. Just picture it. You walk in, and your eyes, for the very first time, lie on the face of God. This precious little innocent child born in humble circumstances. And you're there. You see it. And you understand from prophecy, and you understand from what the angels have said, that he came for you. And he is God in the flesh. He's Emmanuel. Just think about what you're seeing, what you're feeling. The Holy Spirit, we ask you now, with our hearts right and our minds right, to hear your word. We pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak. That you would speak. You speak in power and authority and transform our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, started an Advent sermon series called Heaven Sent. Heaven Sent. Last week, we talked about Mary's first Christmas, and today's message is Joseph's first Christmas. All this was brand new, happening to both of them, and I'm just going to dive right in. We're going to unpack a few of the things that I think that we can learn from Joseph's response to this, to the happenings, what's going on here. First thing, from Joseph, I believe that we learn that obedience to God takes courage. Obedience to God's courage. In both instances, when the angel appeared to Mary and when the angel appeared to Joseph, in both instances, again, I don't think that happens every day. In both instances, the angel's first words were, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." How often, and I believe that put them at ease to receive what they were being told and then ultimately to respond to that. So fear. I want to say this. I've said it before. I want to say it again. Fear is not from God. I want that to sink in a second. Fear is not from God. If you are fearful of something, that's the enemy making you fearful. God has given us a spirit of power and authority. He has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear on the. But if we're honest with one another, and I'm first in line, many times fear can determine our behavior. Maybe God's calling us to do something. He's asking us. We feel in our spirit. I've never heard God audibly talk to me, but I've felt him in my spirit to do certain things. And when we are feeling that in our spirit and we don't respond, many times it's out of fear. What will people think? I could lose a relationship here. God may not come through in the clutch. Many times there is a cost to obedience. Maybe the cost is that others won't understand. I've said this, if you've been to church here for very long, you've heard my testimony. Cheryl and I was in the computer career, and Cheryl and I through prayer and just listening for the Lord felt called into the ministry some 20 something years ago. And, I had a 20 year career in the computer field. And quite frankly, it was scary as heck. I mean, that was a scary time. But and here's the deal. A lot of people didn't understand what we were doing. But I knew, I had my wife by my side, I knew that we were in sync, and I knew that God was leading us, and so we stepped out in faith. And quite frankly, we had to overcome fear. The fear of what if, the fear of, man, God, you know, and y'all probably, many of you have heard that for a year and a half or so there, it was a struggle. We, you know, things weren't unfolding. The red carpet wasn't just rolling out for us the way I thought it would. And it was scary. And I thought, man, we're gonna lose everything. I'm supposed to be the leader of my family. I'm supposed to be the provider of my family, and we got nothing. I mean, our savings account was down to zero and couldn't sell a house that we needed to sell and all sorts of things. And I've said this before, but right before I was associated with Wiley Methodist Church, we lived a few blocks from here. I came, and this was really crazy because, if you know, one night I told Cheryl, I said, I'm going to go for a jog, and I picked her up off the floor. Because I don't do that. I said I gotta do something physically. I've got to do something. And I was running right outside these windows on this sidewalk, and I remember stopping under these trees by the bridge over here, and I was giving God a tongue lashing. All of it fear based because I was scared to death that He was not going to come through. And I remember saying, God, I trusted you. Man, I trusted you, and you've left me out to dry. Where are you? What's going on? I mean, I'm scolding him, and he should have zapped me right there. But God, in His infinite mercy and compassion, He communicated to my heart, Hatcher, I'm breaking you. I'm breaking you because I want you to know that I'm the only one you can depend on. I don't mean that against people. Certainly not against my wife or anybody else in my family, but I have all you've got. And I want you to know that. And I want you to know when I come through, I want you to know it was me. And I remember when I felt that, I remember saying back to God, then don't leave anything undone, Lord. Break me good. Do what you need to do with me. Because I need you, and I want to walk in your ways. And that was right outside these windows. And I've told you all this, but you guys are, I just wanted to be a pastor. I didn't care if we had 10 people in the church. I just wanted to be a pastor. That was my heart's desire. And you guys are God's answer to me and Cheryl. What a wonderful church y'all are. And we are blessed to be a part of it. But it takes courage. Obedience to God takes courage. And that's not a boastful thing for me because I was scared to death. But I knew what He wanted from me. And Cheryl and I stepped out in courage. And God came through. It took a while. But God came through. Galatians, Paul says it this way, Galatians 1:10. Am I now trying to win the approval of men or of God? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So many times we're worried what people will think about us if we It's like, because I fall victim to this too. Even in worship, it's like sometimes we're thinking, I'd really like to clap my hands to that song. But what will everybody think about me as I got my act together? I got a coat and everything. What will people think of me if I show a little too much expression when I worship? Man, God, are we worried about what people think of us or what God thinks of us? Secondly, from Joseph, I believe that we learn that character trumps reputation. Character trumps reputation. There it is. Joseph, now this is before the angel appeared to Joseph. He Mary comes to him. We talked about this last week. Mary has to go back to her betrothed, her husband, and her mom and dad, and her community. She has to go back and say, I'm pregnant. But it was the Holy Spirit. Who's buying that? No, at that point, only Mary had heard from the angel. Joseph hadn't heard from the angel. Mom and dad hadn't heard from the angel. Yeah, I'm pregnant, but it was the Holy Spirit. And Joseph gets that news before the angel appeared to him, and here's how he responded. He said, Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man. There's that character. And he did not want to expose her to public disgrace. So he decided to divorce her quietly. In his mind, he had to be thinking, she's had an affair. This baby is someone else's, but I don't want to embarrass her. Do you hear the character in his response? Even before he knew the truth, his first thought that she had been unfaithful, even before the angel appeared, he was willing to divorce her quietly. He was willing to sacrifice his reputation because also, even after the angel appeared to him, so Mary and Joseph had heard from the angel that this was God's child conceived by the Holy Spirit. So those two know it. No one else heard it from an angel. And you know that people were saying, yeah, Joseph and Mary, man, they've been getting a little bit ahead of themselves here before we actually have the vows. This is Joseph's baby is what it is. That's what the community was thinking. Joseph set that aside. He was willing to sacrifice his reputation for obedience to God. In short, Joseph had character. God can use people with character. Did you know that? If you have character, God can use you. There's an old saying that says, your reputation is who people think you are. But your character is who you are. Now, another way I've heard it is like character is what you do when nobody's watching. Man, character trumps reputation. We learn that from Joseph. And finally, third, from Joseph we learn that obedience has eternal implications. Has eternal implications. Think about Joseph, when the angel appeared to him in his dream, it said he woke up, and here's what it says. First thing it says, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Now the angel commanded Joseph, but I don't think God took away Joseph's free will. The angel said, this is what's going on and here's what you're to do. But Joseph and Mary both could have said, I didn't sign up for this. But they didn't. And here's the deal. Had they refused to be obedient, they would have missed out on the blessing. We're talking today, 2,000 years later, we're talking about the faithfulness of Joseph and Mary. They would have missed out on the blessing. She would have missed out on the blessing of having the Son of God. God would have found, he would have found other people to fulfill his prophecy through. But they understood, this is bigger than my reputation. This is bigger than me. God wants to use it. Well, he wants to bless us in something big. And they understood that. because they were obedient, the prophecy of the coming Messiah was fulfilled, and Jesus the Christ came through them. And we are, and we still remember and rejoice that today. Jesus came and lived a sinless life. He died in our place. 3 days later, he conquered the grave, and we are all beneficiaries of that, church. That's why we're here. That's why we come together, because we have this unity in the Spirit. Unity in Christ is what binds us together. How many of you know, and some of you in the early service, don't cheat, I know you know now. If you weren't in the early service, how many of you know about a man named Edward Kimball? Raise your hand. I love that. Oh, we got one back there, dude. Okay. Edward Kimball. We really don't know who that guy is. Well, listen, as I read through this, you're gonna maybe start some bells and whistles maybe going off. In 1855, Edward Kimball, a Sunday school teacher. Is this on? Just an ordinary Sunday school teacher. He went to a shoe store where one of his Sunday school students, a 17-year-old boy named Dwight Moody, worked at this shoe store. And he led Dwight Moody to the Lord in the shoe store. Moody became this great evangelist. He led F.B. Meyer to a saving grace of Jesus Christ. Meyer became a pastor in London and led J. Wilbur Chapman into the certainty of his salvation through Christ in the late 1870s. Chapman served as boss and mentor to a man named Billy Sunday, helping lead him to Christ at a street corner meeting in Chicago. In 1924, Sunday, who also became an evangelist, was instrumental in the conversion of a man named Mordecai Ham. Any bells going off yet? In 1934, during a series of revival meetings in Charlotte, North Carolina, which were led by this evangelist, Mordecai Ham, a young 16-year-old boy was saved. His name was Billy Graham. For over 80 years, hundreds of thousands of men and women across the globe have come to a realization of salvation through the preaching and witness of Billy Graham. And I said this in the early service, I'll say it again. Billy Graham would be the first one to tell us that he's not our Savior. But I greatly admire the ministry, the life and ministry of Billy Graham. He stood above the things that so many times can capture these evangelists. They get too powerful and too much money and they can stray. But I think Billy Graham walked it out faithfully, and I'm thankful for that. And I admire him greatly. I want to say that again, hundreds of thousands of men and women. That's not even counting all the steps along the way, but when you finally get down to Billy Graham, hundreds of thousands came to Christ through Billy Graham, all because of a Sunday school teacher. Sunday school teachers in our church, thank you. I don't see all of you. Thank you. Many of you have served for many, many years in our church. Your efforts are not in vain. Like Edward Kimball, church, we are like a rock dropped in a pond, every one of us. Every one of us. You don't know what is going to come. It's like you drop this rock in a pond and the ripples start going out, touching lives and people, and they touch lives and people. You don't know how you respond to things going on in your life when people without sight of Christ, I see this all the time when people are struggling with cancer or death, unexpected death, you know, tragedies, whatever, and when they walk those things out faithfully, it impacts lives. We are like a rock dropped in a pond. Obedience to God takes courage. Character trumps reputation, and obedience has eternal implications, church. We must remember all those things. You may be, church, the only Christ that someone ever sees. If you would turn with me to page 12 of your hymnal. We are going to participate in the Lord's Supper this morning. You know, just as we go through this liturgy, I've said this before, but, you know, when I was a young man growing up in the Methodist Church, I think pretty much every Sunday, once a month when we do communion, we did the liturgy. And I didn't get it as a young guy. I just didn't get it. And I just thought, man, this is taking more time. I'm going to miss a kickoff or I'm going to be in the back of the line at Luby's. You know, that was my thoughts. And I just want you to know, as we read through this liturgy, this is a costly meal. This little baby that that God sent, he grew up, as Billy said in the prayer time, he grew up, he became a teenager, he became a young man, and he went to a cross for us so that we can have life. What a precious and costly meal this is. Page 12, if you will, and it's going to be on the screen as well, if you'll read the bold print and I'll read the rest. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him. Do you love him, church? He loves you back and you're invited. Who earnestly repent of their sin. Do you repent of your sin? You're invited. To seek to live in life in peace with one another, to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If you will pray your own personal prayer of silent confession before God. Hear the good news, church. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. The great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right. And a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He gave thanks to you, and he broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup. He gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. This is the body of Christ, broken for you. This cup is the blood of Christ, poured out for you. As often as we do this, may we remember him. If those who are serving would come forward. Christ our Lord has invited us to this table. You do not have to be a member of our church to partake. You do not have to be a member of any church. If Jesus is your Lord and Savior and you've professed that and you repent of your sins, you're welcome. It's also okay if you do not want to be served this morning. That's okay. That's your decision. These two stations over here and these two stations over here, you'll be given a piece of bread, dip it into the cup and partake in that manner. If you'd rather have the individual elements, you can come to the center. As you receive those, go ahead and receive those and return to your seat and open and partake of those at your seat, and then you can discard them at the end of the service. Christ loves you. He has invited you to this table because he loves you. Come. reminder, there will be people up front here. If you need prayer, welcome you to come and do that. I'll be out in the foyer. We'd love to meet you, meet our guests. You know, when Joseph woke up after the angel told him what was going on, it says he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. May we have that spirit, that heart, to go and tell in obedience. Go and tell. In Jesus' name, amen. Hi, this is Pastor Jeff Hatcher with Wiley Methodist Church in Abilene, Texas. I want to thank you for listening to this message from God's Word today. If you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He loves you and He wants to be your friend and your Savior. If that is you, I ask you to pray this prayer with me. Lord, I confess that I am a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin. I ask you to come into my heart and be my Lord and my Savior and wash me as white as snow in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer today for the first time, I invite you to do four things. First of all, tell someone, share this decision with someone. We are better together than we are alone. And then also, I ask you to consider being baptized. Jesus himself set the example for us by being baptized himself, and he encourages us to do the same. And then I ask you to consider finding a Bible-believing and Bible-preaching church and plug in. Again, we are better together than alone. And then finally, I ask you to get into God's Word. It's not just because it is makes us a better person, but also because it is the living Word, and God speaks to us through His Word. The Gospel of John is a great place to begin. If I can help you be of any sort of assistance through this process, you can contact me at my email address, jhatcher@wileymethodist.org. God bless you.